MZTV.
Are you guys like me? Did you ever have those dreams where, like, you were supposed to bring something for school, like your colored pencils or your poster board, and you forgot it, and you got to school and everybody else had everything they needed, but you were the only one who didn't have your school gear, and you felt like a moron. You felt out of place. You felt horrible. And this is the situation that some Israelites are going to find themselves in. This is Martin Zender. You're at MZTV, and I'm here at the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. This is not a bad place to launch from. You know, we have Cape Canaveral up the road a few hundred miles from here, and it's where, of course, we Americans send all our spaceships into space from. Florida makes a good launch pad. It's sticking out there in the ocean. So I think that the bottom of this thing, the bottom of this peninsula, is a great place to launch from when the snatching away occurs. I wouldn't be at all upset to be here in South Florida launching to meet Christ. Sounds fantastic. Sounds improbable, but it's going to happen because God promises us, and we believe God. We don't believe our own incredulity. Once in a while, you get incredulous, don't you? You think, this is so fantastic. Is this thing actually going to happen? Well, I got news for you. It is. Point 24 is related to this, and this sounds like a repeat of another point we had. Gospel of the Circumcision, Peter's Gospel. You can be put to shame in his presence. I think I quoted this before. There must be a little nuance here. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, yes, little children, John says, remain in him, that if he should be manifested, we should be having boldness and not be put to shame by him in his presence. Little children, stay in his lap. Do not stray far away, because if you do, you might be left behind. It's how ironic is this, that the Christian left behind thing is going to include them. Going to get to the snatching away here of the body of Christ. The left behind scenario, the movie, the book, this great Christian thing, and they're so happy, the Christians are, that they will not be left behind. The problem is, they think that the criteria for not being left behind during the tribulation, for being taken away and avoiding the tribulation, they think, get this, they think the criteria is going to church, or signing your name to a creed full of man-made beliefs, or putting a metal fish applique on your car. They think, get this, that the key to avoiding the tribulation is signing up to the world's most popular religion. That signing up, putting your name, and showing up to the world's greatest popularity club that claims the name of Christ, they think that will keep them from being left behind. But their worst nightmare is about to be realized. And the day is going to dawn on these posers, these people who have not joined Christ. They've not joined the truth. They've joined a false Christ. They've joined the pop icon Christ. They joined the religion that gives them the biggest tailwind, the biggest earthly advantage. It's going to be a terrible day of reckoning. It's going to be a horrible wake-up call when these people find out that they were not snatched away to be with Christ, and they are now facing going through the tribulation. And Paul's gospel, of course, will be changed in his presence. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we the living who are surviving through the presence of the Lord, these are those who believe in the death of Christ for sin, his entombment, and his resurrection. And just in case you think that, well, Martin, every Christian believes that. Everybody I know who has a metal fish applique on their car or a Ten Commandments rearview mirror bobble icon, they believe that Jesus Christ died. This might be a good time to get into this. In case this is the last broadcast I ever do because the snatching away occurs, I am telling you this. I didn't plan on doing this, but now's the time for it. If any one of these metal fish applique Ten Commandment people, if any of them believe in the Trinity, then they do not believe in the death of Christ. It's one thing to say you believe in the death of Christ, and this is a foundational piece of Paul's gospel, the death of Christ. But if Jesus Christ is God the Father, if they're the same being, and if God can't die, and all these people will admit God can't die, ask them, can God die? No, God can't die. Very good. You got the first question right. Then you ask them, did Jesus Christ die? Well, they'll say he died, but they don't actually believe it. Because if they think Jesus Christ is God, which they do, and if God can't die, then Jesus Christ could not have died. Who was running the universe while God was dead? This sounds blasphemous, but this is common sense. Jesus Christ himself called himself the Son of God. During his trial, what's the craziest charge they brought up against him? The worst thing that the mainstream religious leaders brought up against Jesus Christ. This man claimed to be the Son of God. That was the worst thing they could come up with, because he did claim that. My point is, he never claimed he was God. Can you imagine? I'm God. He never said that. He said he was the Son of God. He said he came to do his Father's will. He said the Father was greater than he was. All these things from Jesus' own lips. Christians refuse to believe it because they think they're improving his resume. So, by believing in the Trinity, it completely prevents you from believing in the death of Christ. And so they make up this crazy idea that, well, his body died. That's how they get out of rejecting completely the idea that Jesus Christ died. Well, his body did die, but he went to heaven for 3 days, looked at his watch, waiting for the time where he can come back to his body. But that is completely false. That's a false teaching. It's a satanic teaching. Jesus Christ did die. The man, Jesus Christ, did not exist for 3 days. This is shocking. Excuse me. Many of you have already heard this, of course, but I feel inspired to give this anew because we're going to be talking about the tribulation. We're going to be talking about a major difference between the two gospels. Israel is going through the tribulation. They are going through it. They are an earthbound people. The tribulation will affect the earth, and they are going through it. They're going to be tried by fire. They are going to be tested. And only those who overcome will live through it to eat of the tree of life. Where's the 144,000? See, for years I looked at this. I'm looking at the 144,000 in the book of Revelation, and clearly they're sealed to go through the tribulation. It's true they're not harmed, but they're probably swatting away those gnats, and they're probably, you know, feeling the heat from the sun scorching them. So they're going through it. But then I see passages like the one I started to read to you, that we who survive to the presence of the Lord should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. The Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, the voice of the chief messenger, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Thereupon, I'm in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 through 17. Thereupon, we the living who are surviving shall be at the same time snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That sounds like science fiction, but it's not. And thus shall we always be together with the Lord. And Paul says we are not appointed to indignation. Jesus Christ is called our rescuer out of the coming indignation. How plain can words be? But that rescue is contingent upon believing Paul's gospel. I'm sorry, but it is. And a chief aspect of Paul's gospel is the death of Christ. Do you think Satan wants a bunch of people believing in the death of Jesus Christ? No. Because that's a key belief to being a member of the body of Christ. And members of the body of Christ are going to displace Satan in celestial realms. He doesn't like that. So he's going to kill the butterfly in the cocoon. So Satan invented a teaching to disqualify millions of people. Not only that, but to make these people think that they believe in the death of Christ, but they don't really believe in the death of Christ. How is that possible? How is it possible to think you believe in the death of Christ, but you really don't believe in the death of Christ? That would take supernatural brilliance. Oh, yes, Satan has done it by injecting the false teaching of the Trinity into humanity through the Nicene Council in the 4th century, I believe it was. So these people who say they believe in the death of Christ, they don't. They believe in the death of his body. But Christ, and Paul doesn't say that the cornerstone of our evangel is belief in the death of Jesus Christ's body, the death of his skin and his bones and his muscles. No, he died. He died. They don't believe he died. They believe he went to heaven for 3 days. Disqualified. Boom. You're done. Good luck in the tribulation. Second point, foundational. You find this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3. Sorry about my voice. I don't know what's happening here. The death of Christ for sin. Jesus Christ took away sin. He did it at the cross. Oh, Martin, every Christian believes that. No, they don't. None of them believe it. Zero. How could it be? Because they make it so that your default setting, every human being is born as a sinner bound for hell. And the only way you can get out of this is by saying the sinner's prayer, believing, coming up with some kind of faith in accord with the denomination's standards and guidelines. Only then will you be saved from your sin. Well, wait a minute. If Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago to take away sin, apparently, from what you people are telling me, he didn't do it. Because if he did, why am I born in the default setting of being a sinner going to hell? Unless I, sometime during my life, get smart enough to believe in Jesus Christ. It's, again, a satanic construct. It's a false teaching called human free will, which says that God will not impose his will on anyone. God will not cause anyone to do anything. God must respect everyone's free will, and therefore, he would love to give you belief. He would love to help you along, but he can't. But he can't, because that would violate your precious sovereign. Your precious sovereign realm. This is a lie, but every single Christian I know believes it. Every single one. They love it. They love it, because it makes salvation dependent upon the human. So much for Jesus Christ taking away the sin of the world. He took away the sin of the world except for every single person that's ever born. Subsequent to the cross, all these people are going to hell unless they do something stupendous to get out of it, which is believe in Jesus. No. They're all disqualified. They're hung by a technicality. Yes. Martin, you got to go easy on these people. Why are you so adamant? They're just confused. They're just deceived. Yes. But get rid of the word just, because confusion is deadly. Deception is deadly. Satan's primary tool is confusion. That's what he does. He sows doubt. He sows disbelief, while at the same time making these people think that they're the paragons of belief. No, to escape the coming indignation, anyone listening to my voice, embrace the truth. Turn away from man-made religion, especially the most deceptive religion, the Christian religion. It's just another religion. It's deceptive because it carries the name of Christ. It extols the cross, has pictures of the cross. But it's a Hollywood wall. It's a false front. It's a whitewashed tomb. All the Jesus jewelry with the cross, it's a feint. It's fake. And it keeps these people asleep, mesmerized by their own accomplishments, by their own belief, by their own will. And in the meantime, the real Jesus, the real Christ, the one who conquered sin and death on the cross and doesn't depend on human belief to ratify his work, this one passes right under their noses. And they don't see him because he's not popular. He's not a celebrity. He's not a pop icon. It's the same today as it was back in the day. Jesus Christ is still outside of the institution. Jesus Christ himself, thank God, I report to you today, is not a Christian.